Welcome to episode 81 of the Business in Morocco podcast. Today I'm talking with the founder of Clinacqua Bottles, and he's going to talk to us about growing up in Morocco, about going to school in Spain, and some of the experiences he's had as an entrepreneur over the years, including his most recent projects to produce water bottles and to produce a technology to help clean the ocean of pollution and plastic specifically. So Ayman, welcome to the podcast. Could you just introduce yourself for our listeners?
Of course. Thank you very much, Ryan, for introducing me. So my name's Ayman and the nickname is Berghdoush. I know it's a bit complicated and it sounds a bit difficult to pronounce. And I'm based in Spain and I'm originally from Morocco.
Great. So you grew up in Nador. Talk to us about your family. Did you come from a family of entrepreneurs, or where did you get this spirit to start building businesses?
Yeah, sure. So my father is working with the government, and my mother is working on a bank. So I don't have a member that I know of in the family that he's an entrepreneur.
So it was more of maybe.
Yeah, exactly. It was more of understanding what it is and the importance of being it, more than being influenced by someone to do so. Mm-hmm.
So when you were in Nador growing up, and did you go to public school, to private school?
Yeah, so in Nador I was studying in Spanish school. And that's why I had easiness also with the language, and had given me a permission, a help to go to study in Spain also.
Okay. So was it there where you started learning English as well?
English was more an autodidact thing. It was more of watching videos and reading books and consuming content in English. That was what pushed it.
Did you have friends or family members that could speak English as well and you could practice?
I have a cousin that lives in the USA, in Texas. And so whenever she used to come, I used to practice a little bit with her English.
Yeah, because you have a good level of English, and it seems amazing to me that you could arrive there if you weren't practicing speaking it and listening to it every day.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's mainly because of the content I used to consume on YouTube, and also because at an early age, precisely at 16, I understood that English was the main language in which I can learn things and new things, because the main innovation was happening in the USA and also because and in English countries. And also that was the language in which they provided the content so you can learn. And so I understood that, and I started to consume it in English and also started to read in books in English because of that purpose.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, if you have a company here in Morocco and they have a relationship with a company in Germany, for example, they're most likely going to be communicating in English. Yeah. Or if you're communicating with, let's say, a manufacturer in Turkey or in China, you're also probably going to be communicating in English. Right now, I'm doing negotiations with a company in Switzerland.
Okay.
And we're communicating in English.
English, so right.
I completely agree. It's a great idea. And one of the reasons we do this podcast is to encourage Moroccans to learn English, knowing exactly what you just said, which is if you can speak English, then you'll have many advantages doing business around the world.
Yeah.
And especially as an entrepreneur like yourself, trying to do business across borders, English is a great thing to have. So tell us a little bit about your first adventures into entrepreneurship. I noticed from your LinkedIn profile, there's a couple things there called Au Naturel Nador. What was that?
Yeah, that was the first experience on having a business in Ador. And it's very much related to this last startup in which I'm in. That's called Clean Aqua, as you said before. And it's basically the same idea, just developed even more. But that was the first thing that I had, and I started it at the age of 16.
And so what was the goal of the company?
The goal came up from a very big problem that happened in my city. It was just a normal day. I was at my home, and I just wanted to wash my hands from tap water. And whenever I opened the tap water, yellow water came out. Mm. And I was completely surprised. I didn't understand what was happening, but I did understand that this is not something normal. It was actually a problem that happened for a week within the city. And whenever I informed myself more what happened, it was because there was a pollution leak into the water that was going through tap water in cities. Mm. And so I thought that, if it's just me washing my hands, imagine if there are families in the city that count on drinking this tap water. That's a huge problem. And so I began thinking of ideas that we can start doing in order to solve that problem in that moment. It was not something saying, okay, this is a problem, I'll just think of something long term. It was, let's come up with something that can fix it in that right time.
Yeah.
And so whenever we analyzed what was the best solution to it, it was to provide, develop, and design individual water filters. Mm-hmm. So they can be cheap, and each one can buy it and use it whenever they have polluted water in their tap water.
So you were able to find materials from local stores and markets in order to make these filters?
So I actually heard about a program those weeks. It was called NJAZ. And it was the perfect opportunity to go there and just pitch the solution and be part of them, because this program allows you to develop your projects. So you don't have to worry about the legal part because you have a program endorsing it. And so we had a coach, and we had a team of like 17 people. And so we started developing it with that team.
Okay. And how long did you work on that project, and what were the final results?
It was about a year, and we actually sold some. I think exactly we made I made the profit of I think it was 1,700 dirham, something like that. It was a big thing for me. It was the first time I was gaining money, which is not my focus, but mm-hmm. it still was like it gives you a sense of accomplishment and just happiness. So yeah, it was about a year since we began selling it.
So tell our listeners about what you learned during this process, because you clearly identified a problem. It was a problem that everyone had.
Yeah.
You needed a solution. Why did you have the courage to go figure out an answer to the problem? And what did you learn during the process that you can share with our listeners?
Ryan, I think the most important thing that I learned, and that I still count on very much, and I'm very thankful of learning it, is to develop the mentality of problem solving. For instance, if you know that you have a problem, have the ability to instantly think of what can I do to solve this? What's mm-hmm. the most efficient way to solve this? And I think that's the most important thing that I learned. And also, to answer your second question, Ryan, it's, I think I am a very emotional person. I'm the kind of person that if knows that something's wrong, I'd love to be part of the solution. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to be part to make happy the other person also. Mm-hmm. That's why I think being emotional affects so much. And I think that's what triggered the energy and the commitment to be involved in these solutions that are mm-hmm. very difficult to handle, actually.
Mm-hmm. So you finished that project, and You started something else called Extra, is that right, while you were still in Nador?
Exactly. Extra is a long term. I think it's not legalized, but it's more of a brand for architecture and design focused products, and also a philosophy of doing things. The philosophy of doing extraordinary things, you know. Mm-hmm. And the only way to do extraordinary things is to not limit yourself. So that's just something that I have aside as a long-term thing. But for now, it's more of a philosophy that I try to embody and inspire.
Mm-hmm. So these projects you were doing while you were going to school, and in fact, you're still going to school right now. Is that correct in Spain?
Yeah, I'm going in college, yeah.
So this whole time, you've been studying full time, but also doing side projects. You know, a lot of people would say, you know, I don't have the time. You know, I'm a student. I don't have enough time or energy to be doing these side projects and starting mm-hmm. these businesses. What would you say to people when they tell you that?
Well, Ryan, it's just the philosophy that I talked to you about Extra. I think the only way to do extraordinary things, the word itself tells it, is to go beyond the ordinary. And the only way to go beyond the ordinary is to not limit yourself. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that we are capable of doing more than we think we can. And I also try to inspire that and embody that and try to express it whenever I do these projects, because right now I'm studying architecture, and at the same time I'm having two complex projects. Clean Aqua is a startup that we're going to start to sell actually in 1 month. Mm-hmm. And Proluo is a big project of 32 members. And we are going to put a filter in the Mediterranean for the year 2021. And that's why the university is helping us too, in the financing of the project itself. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's what I think. I think we can do much more. Each one of us can do much more than he thinks he can do.
So you're at university in Spain. Talk to our listeners about how you decided to go to this university, to move to a new country, to move to Spain, to study. I assume that most of the education is in Spanish. Is that right?
Yeah, you have the option of taking it in English, but mostly it's in Spanish. Yeah.
So talk to our listeners about this decision-making process. Why did you choose to go to Spain for university?
Yeah, I think it's the same motivation that everyone has at the beginning, which is to go after bigger opportunities and more opportunities and more doors, opening more doors for you. Mm-hmm. Actually, my goal was not to go to Spain, was to go to France. I applied to study in Paris and Montpellier, and I got rejected. And so my plan B was to go to Spain, mm-hmm. To go to Valencia. And so, yeah, that was the main thing, to open more opportunities.
So talk to us about your focus of your studies, and how does that focus of your studies relate to the projects that you're doing right now?
Yeah, so right now I'm studying architecture. And actually, there are a lot of people that do ask me that, why are you studying architecture if you're doing something related to business, for instance, or entrepreneurship? I don't see it as business. I see it more as to be an entrepreneur. I think entrepreneur embodies better the word of or term of business, because that allows you also to be an innovator and, you know, be design driven and many things. So I think the main thing is being design driven, because in both I develop products. One is developing buildings, and also you can develop products inside that architecture agency if you open one. And the other one is also a product driven. That's what I focus on. And the other thing is both they have heavy management and heavy leadership skills. That's what I think. That's what combines them. Both. Mm-hmm.
So which of these initiatives did you start first, the Clean Aqua or the Proluo, the cleaning of the ocean?
Okay, so it's an interesting story how I try to plan things. So whenever I finished the project of Onatrail, what I decided to do is to give myself a break and enter in other projects so I can learn faster, so I can begin another project by myself. So whenever I finished on a trail, that was the period I left Morocco and then I went to Spain. I had nothing in that gap. And so what I did is enter projects inside the university of students or even teachers. I was in a project started by a teacher in which we were developing scooters, electrical scooters. Mm-hmm. I entered as someone just wanted to learn. And so I tried to learn as much as I can from those projects. The electrical scooter, I worked on it for 6 months and we failed. We actually didn't launch at the end. But it was enough to gather information and knowledge and experience so I can start. And so the next thing that I did after those 6 months, it was 2019, was to start a Clean Aqua. Mm-hmm. Clean Aqua came up with the idea of Au Naturel. It was because I saw potential in it. And I saw how important that solution of filtering water was. And also, we come up with the idea of actually, if we develop this project, we will not be only tackling the water pollution problem, which is immense, and it's getting even worse throughout the years in the whole world. But also we can tackle the plastic pollution problem. Mm-hmm. Because we can add the filter inside reusable bottles of water that you can use besides buying single-use plastic water bottles. Mm-hmm. And so it was tackling two problems. And that's what introduced me to the second problem, which is plastics. And I mm-hmm. understood the problem of plastics. And so months after, I started the Prolo.
That's great. So talk to us about your journey with Clean Aqua. When you first had the idea, what was the first thing that you did? Was it a design? Did you investigate actually producing the bottle and the filter? Talk to us about your journey to the moment we're at where you're about to start selling this water bottle.
Yeah, so as I said before, Ryan, it's that mentality of problem solving. So once I understood that the fundamental problem, solution to the problem is to develop a filter, then it was like creating the bubble around it. You know, mm-hmm. you have the main thing, you have, it's also a first principles way of doing things, you know, to break down the problem to its core and to break down the solution to its core. So we started with the actual solution, which is filter, and then started to design around it, how to develop it. For instance, we started with the filter and then we ended up with the bottle that will mm-hmm. be inside it, because as I mentioned, it tackles also the problem of plastic pollution. Mm-hmm. So that's how we started. It was a design-driven process. And actually, we use the same process both in Clean Aqua and Pro Duo, which is the design process. I think it's the most effective thing if you are developing a product-focused a business or a project. Mm-hmm.
And you say we. Are you a team? Do you have a team of people that are helping you realize this project?
Yeah, so at Clean Aqua, we are 7 members. And at Prolo, we are around 30 people.
Okay. So once you had the design, how did you go about testing your design or creating prototypes?
Yeah. As I mentioned, the design process that we are using allows you to jump from prototype to prototype. It's like having multiple MVPs. For instance, the product, we just released the name of it. It's called Aqua One. So before arriving to Aqua One, what we did is developing Aqua 0.1, and then we test it. Then we take the good things and bad things of it, and we then develop Aqua 0.2, and then 0.3, 0.4, 0.5, until we arrive to 0.9, which is the last prototype. We validate, we improve it, and then we finish with Aqua One. And that's the same process also that we are developing at Prolo. And the Prolo, the product we are developing is called Blau. Blau in, so the place I'm currently based in is Valencia. And so Valencia has another language, which is called Valenciano. And in Valenciano, Blau means blue. I think it's also common in other countries. And the idea of naming it Blau is to regain the color of the Mediterranean back to blue because it's very much polluted with microplastics and plastics. And so that's the same process we are developing. And it's the name is Blau One because of the process we're doing.
So talk to me about the actual practicality of creating a prototype. Does the university have resources? Did you have to go out in town to actually get the materials that you need to create the prototypes?
Yeah, so in Blau, we're still developing. So as I mentioned, we have Aqua One. We're going to start selling it. And in Proluo, we're actually at the phase of Blau 0.3. We're at an early phase in prototyping, but the financing part of it comes from the university. So the university allows you to pick up the money you need because it's endorsed by it. And also it's because they take some shares with you.
Okay.
That's some university policies. If you start a project with the university, there are some policies.
Is that the same for Aqua One?
No, Aqua One is a startup.
So for Aqua One,
yeah,
the first prototype bottles, did you buy the materials and start putting it together and fastening it? How did that work?
Exactly. It was a person in funding from the co-founders and just start prototyping directly from the things that we can buy.
Okay. And so you had a series of revisions and corrections over time of different prototypes based on what you learned. Now tell us, once you had a design that you liked and that was functional, how did you decide where to manufacture it?
Okay. So this is actually a very good point, Ryan, and a very good question, because what we are trying to do with Kleinaqua is to be as sustainable as possible. And so involving the same mentality of problem solving, we found out that the best way to be sustainable, even in the production of the product, is by using additive manufacturing instead of traditional manufacturing. And so that's what we use. And also the plus of using additive manufacturing is that you can buy it because it's affordable and you can produce it from your home if you decide to produce it from your home. So that's what we are using. And we are producing directly from the office that we have. And we're actually starting to sell in Morocco. That's where we're going to start producing.
So you buy the shell and then you buy the filter, then you do the assembly yourself, parts essentially that already exist?
Exactly. So additive manufacturing is commonly said is the 3D printing. 3D print, and what we do is go into the fundamental things. For instance, what you use is for the bottle itself, the material is very ecologic. It's acid, polylactic acid, and what we do is we buy the pellets, the fundamental things, so we can decrease the cost, and we turn it into filaments, and then we use the 3D printer. But for the filter, it's a bit more complicated. To you by yourself, manufacture the filter. So we buy the main ingredients of the filter, which in this case is one of them is activated carbon.
Okay. So you are actually printing these bottles and then you're buying the filter materials and you're assembling it yourself. And that's basically your manufacturing process.
Exactly. But at the end, because there are some inconveniences in 3D printing. So at the end, there is a refinement exercise and a finishing process. Mm-hmm. So we do that to finish it and to give it that a very good looking product also. That's one of the things that we focus on.
With your current process, how many bottles can you create per month, for example?
It depends on how many 3D printers you have, obviously. But what with the capacity that we have, it's around 300 bottles.
300 bottles. So yeah. Is your business plan to go direct to consumer using social media, or do you also have B2B plans?
Exactly, it's B2C plans directly.
Okay, so you're gonna do social media marketing and are you planning to just use the post office? Once you get an order, you're going to ship it out through various logistics companies?
Yeah, exactly. That's the best way we can do. Yeah, the best thing we can do. Sorry.
Okay. Have you already set up your payment system, e-commerce website?
We are in it. That's the last thing we wanted to do, so we can truly focus on developing a great product. Mm-hmm. And then once we finish Aqua One, which is the case, now we are involving all the things so we can wrap it up and start selling.
Okay, so the website is not active yet?
It is in development.
Okay, well, why don't you just give the listeners the name of the website so that when this episode does actually publish, they can go and check out your products.
Exactly. It's cleanaquabottles.com.
CleanAqua. Okay, we'll put that in the show notes. Mm-hmm. So we encourage all of our listeners to go and to order a bottle. So let's transition to ProLuo and talk to our listeners about what is the situation in the Mediterranean. You talked a little bit about the pollution. What is the situation?
Yeah, so Ryan, I started with a lack of knowledge. I started as 2 years ago. I thought that the problem of plastics was just the idea of you throwing maybe a plastic bottle in the ocean or on land and it stays there. And whenever I started to inform myself more and be more involved in this and start reading more books, which is one of the things that I do, so I can complement my lack of knowledge. I buy a lot of books specialized in those topics. For instance, ProLuo, what I've been reading a lot is marine biology. And now I know that the problem is, how can I say the word? It's very much lethal than I thought. And it's much more complex than I thought. The Mediterranean is a closed sea. So actually, the problem of plastics is happening in the global oceans. There are five big patches of plastics. They're called plastic gyres. Mm-hmm. So what we are doing is going directly to solve the problem in the Mediterranean because it's a closed sea. And so the plastics gathered there. Mm-hmm. The actual problem for the Mediterranean is that plastics are very much gathered there. And by time and because of sunlight also, they break down into microplastics. And that's the main problem, Ryan. It's not the plastics, it's the microplastics. So whenever the plastic breaks, because what happens is the fish and all the organisms, they confuse it with food and they eat it. Mm-hmm. There's one report that I recently read and on National Geographic, and it says that 60%, about 60% of sardines in the Mediterranean contain microplastics. Mm. So we know that microplastics are already in our chain food, food chain, and that produces long-term cancer and many other things. But the main problem is that it's killing organisms, mm-hmm. and it's killing one of the fundamental organisms in the world, which are planktons. Planktons produce oxygen. Actually, about 50% of the world's oxygen, I don't want to say something wrong, but I think it's whether 50% or 70%, it's a very big amount of oxygen of the world does not actually come from trees. It comes from planktons. Mm. Planktons are very tiny organisms that live in the top layer of the ocean, the seas. And so they eat the microplastics too. Mm. And because they eat it, they die. It's because it blocks their digestive system, or it's because it produces long-term complications inside the system. So the problem is actually very big, and the main problem is the microplastics. Mm. And that's what we are going after. The filter is specialized to gather more than big plastics, which is the long-term thing to do, but the tiny plastics, the microplastics.
So tell our listeners how your solution is going to remove these microplastics from the Mediterranean.
Yeah, so I don't know if you know about a very big project that's called Ocean Cleanup.
Yeah, I have.
Exactly. So what they're doing is going after the gyres. Actually, the problem is much more bigger than that. It's not going through after the five gyres that I talked about. It's about going everywhere because now it's everywhere. And so what we need is not only one project of ocean cleanup, not only one project of Proluo, but we need dozens, many of them, because it's a very big problem. It's everywhere. And so what we are doing is developing this filter so we can gather the microplastics through the Mediterranean. And so we're starting directly with the Mediterranean, which is another plus.
Mm-hmm. So is it, you said it's something that's going to be put in the Mediterranean by boats, basically attach it between boats and they move through the Mediterranean to gather the plastic?
Exactly. It's because that's the long-term solution. Mm-hmm. The best solution, it's the same idea of going to the fundamental to break it down. The best solution is to make something that's not autonomous, because it's less expensive and it's more efficient also. Mm-hmm. So the best thing is to attach it to boats that already move from point A to B. Mm-hmm. And that's what Ocean Cleanup is doing, is developing autonomous systems. And so what we are, the point of innovation is, you know, we're doing it at much less cost, and it's also a long-term solution also. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds like a great initiative. I know that all of us want healthy, clean oceans, and yeah. I'm glad that you're working on that project to help resolve that problem. Talk to our listeners about your experience in Spain during coronavirus. What has happened at the university? What are your impressions of the economy?
Yeah, so. The situation is actually worse than I thought. Whenever the pandemic started, obviously everything closed up and the university closed, so we were doing online classes. And so Spain was one of the countries that really got the impact of the pandemic, and mostly in the hospitals because they were full of people. And actually, we were still working at Clinaqua and prototyping. And what we did is we shifted the prototyping of the bottles, and we started creating visors so we can help in the pandemic. So that's what I'm really proud of saying that we've done that. And what we've been doing is developing visors to protect the head, mm-hmm. and sending it for free to hospitals, mm-hmm. so we can help them as much as we can. And it turned out very, very effective. And we've also sent to Morocco. We were sending to Spain, mostly in Valencia and Malaga. And we've sent also to Morocco, we've sent to Nador and to another small city, which is Taurit. We sold all the visors that we created. Mm-hmm. And it was obviously completely for free because we wanted to help. And so, yeah, right now the economy is being heavily impacted, mm-hmm. and in Spain is already being little by little felt.
So are you allowed to move around the country? Are you allowed to go to other areas in the EU? Or are you still sort of confined to certain areas?
Yeah, during the quarantine, you obviously couldn't move. I think you could move only if you have like a very solid excuse, or because you had something that you had to do. But now that quarantine is over in Spain, now you can move in the EU. I was actually, about a month ago, I was in Holland. I was in Rotterdam, and I met actually the ocean cleanup team. So mm-hmm. I can gather information from them and learn, and just to sit with them. So you could move freely and go whatever you want, even in the EU. But now the situation, as they are talking, in news and that they may re-quarantine. Mm-hmm. So they may block again the circulation and movement. Mm-hmm.
Have they said whether you will be taking in-person classes in the fall, or is it going to continue online?
Yeah, the universities announced that will be online, just the first semester. Okay. But the second semester, there's still no visibility. And also, that's another issue, that there is not a solid visibility and where we are heading with this pandemic. I think it's a problem worldwide also. Mm-hmm.
So as an entrepreneur, you have to deal with this reality of coronavirus. You have to deal with the situation at your school. You have two projects that you're working on. Tell us about what your goals are for the rest of the year.
So the short-term goal is to fully develop, or at least to arrive to Blau 0.8 this year. Well, my teammates actually know it. I'm someone that really puts tough deadlines. So that's my hope. And also it's to start very well selling Aqua One. And it's because the long-term aim or a goal that I want to arrive is to give as much as I can for myself, to do an effort to connect better civilizations with nature. Mm-hmm. That's what eventually sustainability is, and that's my aim, to really work on sustainability projects and to make them successful as soon as I can.
It sounds like a great initiative. Two great projects, reusable water bottles and cleaning up the ocean. Great projects. Wish you the best of luck. And tell our listeners again the website or where they can find you on social media.
Yeah. So the thing is, the idea is whenever you write Clean Aqua Bottles or ProLuo Project, it will appear whether on Google, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, or LinkedIn. And the actual websites will be developed. So eventually in some weeks, you can even find the actual web pages.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Eamon, so much for your time. Thanks for sharing your story with all of our listeners. We wish you luck with these two projects, and stay healthy, stay safe.
Thank you very much, Ryan, for having me, and have a very good day and weekend that's coming very near.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.